I got this sermon. I was listening to a preacher at camp meeting. His name is Philip Schlatter. The sermon I'm going to preach has nothing to do with what he was saying. But as I was sitting there and I was listening to what he was saying, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit popped a verse into my head. And so I started writing. So as he's preaching, I'm writing a whole different outline for Sunday morning. I knew that I had a sermon that I had to get prepared here for Sunday morning. So this sermon here, like I said, it was cooked up. It was thrown in the oven on Thursday, 10 a.m. this last week. We just got back from camp meeting on Friday night. And if you were there, I wasn't there for the Friday night sermon. I kind of wish I was, but I wasn't there. But we did watch it online. And they're talking about Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost revival. And a lot of times when you go to conferences like this, you're all excited. You're stirred up. You're like, yeah, praise God. I'm running hard. And then we have what I call the 3 day later syndrome. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, praise God. Praise God. They let it die. What did Paul tell Timothy? He said, stir up. Stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. You got to keep stirring it up. Because when you come back to the real world, even at Rhema, when we were out there, Broken Arrow, Tulsa, you're in a Christian bubble. You can't go to Walmart without somebody saying, praise God. God bless you. You know, you're in a bubble out there. But when you leave that bubble and you come out into the real world, you got thoughts, you got people, you don't have that. You know, you go through the drive-thru, is that all you want? Yeah, you know, that type of stuff, you know, and so you fight that stuff all the time when you're outside the bubble. So what do you got to do when somebody is rude to you? You got to stir up that gift that's on the inside of you. You got to stir up that word that's on the inside of you. You got to keep that fire burning. Yeah, I don't want just little smoldering embers. There's still a fire there, but I don't want smoldering. I want a blaze. And I can walk around in that blaze. You got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in the fiery furnace. They didn't get burned. The only thing they got burned was the ropes that held them bound. So that's saying when you're in the fire, when you're experiencing the fire of God, you're experiencing the presence of God, things can't bind you. The things that bind you have to be burned away. The ropes that try to keep you bound, they have to come off. The shackles that are on your feet, that are on your arms, those have to be let loose. Paul and Silas in jail, they're praising God. A mighty earthquake comes, and all the shackles fell off their feet, and all the prison doors were open. Why? Because they were in the presence of God. They were stirring themselves up. That fire that's on the inside, they're stirring themselves up. And when you stir yourself up, things happen. Amen! Stir yourself up. So we're back from camp meeting. I'm stirred up. But I can stir my... I'm stirred up all the time. I'm stirred up all the time. But I'm even more stirred up. But being at camp meeting, you know, I'm Stephen, and even before camp meeting, that God, he's given... And for me, they're becoming more and more clear. More and more real. I mean, when you're in Bible college, you're taking the class, you're taking the test, you're with your classmates, being in the, like, you're going to college, now in the real world, out here doing this, you don't think about that necessarily. So I got to know what the plan of God is for me. I got to know which direction he's taking me because I need him when I'm out in the real world. I'm not in the bubble anymore. And I know that the number one plan that he has for me is to make Jesus known. And that's an important part of my plan, the plan for my life. I need to be more bold. I need to be more open. He's telling me I need to be more encouraging. I feel like I'm a pretty encouraging person. I feel like when people leave my presence, they leave better than when they came to me. Sometimes I have to stir myself up in that area. But I feel like it's like that. But I'm going to be, and I'm trying to be intentional to seek out all the plans God has for me and to walk them out? Are we intentional to figure out what it is that God has planned for our lives? We're going to talk about how to figure that out here in just a little bit. But are we seeking God to find out what His plan and what His purpose is for our lives? Sometimes we have these grand plans, and the grand plan may be where we end up, but it doesn't start there. You know, I'm not going to let offense have any place in my life. I'm not going to allow strife to have any place in this church. It can't. It hinders the church, and it hinders each and every person individually. It'll affect you spirit, soul, and body. It'll affect your finances. It'll affect your personality. It'll affect your emotions. It'll affect your health. All those things. It affects all those things. There's probably scientific evidence that shows this. Very same thing. But offense won't have any place in my life. Love for God and love for people is what's going to motivate me. Now, the title of my sermon, coming up shortly, there it is. Got any plans? Had somebody asked me what my sermon was this morning, and I looked, hey, you got any plans? Knowing that was the title of my sermon. But if you can read the other part, it says, got any plans for today? Do nothing. You did that yesterday. Didn't finish. Okay, a little bit of humor here, a little bit of levity. But what are plans? What does the word plans mean? Looking it up, it says a drawing or a diagram drawn, a method for achieving an end, a detailed formulation of a program of action, an orderly arrangement, an objective, a detailed program or strategy. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, in the New Living Translation, it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. Jeremiah, hey Jeremiah, you got any plans? Because I've got some plans for you. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. But in that other one, it says, before you were formed, I had a dedicated plan, a dedicated program, a dedicated strategy for your life before you were born. I made these plans for you. Jeremiah 29, 11. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster. To give you a future and to give you a hope. For I know the plans I have for you. Ed, God's saying, I know the plans I have for you. Tyler, God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. And they're plans for good. They're good plans. They're not for disaster. These plans will give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope in Him. Don't get outside the plans. Don't try to formulate plans of your own. He's got plans for you that were designed specifically, get this, before you were even born. Before you were even born, He set you apart for Japan. This young man right here, 22 years old, he plans to be in Japan next year. Before he was born, God set him apart for that. And if He set him apart for that, He'll equip him to do what needs to be done. If He has set him apart from that, the finances he needs to be in Japan will be there. If He was set him apart to be a part of being in Japan, the people that were meant to support him financially and prayerfully will support him financially and prayerfully. I know where he came from. I know the mission school that he went to. I know the Bible college he went to. I know what they put in him. I know that because of what they put in him, he'll take that and he'll take that around the world. And it probably do, and I'm not campaigning for him here, but it might do us good for some of us in this room to support him in that. Prayerfully and financially. Woo! Okay, I'll move on. Someone asked me when I first got here, what's your vision for the church? What's your plan for the church? Because that's what they ask. People ask, what's the vision of Life Point Church? And when they asked me that, I said, I don't know. Now, there's an overall vision. There's an overall plan that God has for each one of us as believers. But when I came to Life Point Church, I didn't know you. I didn't know the culture of the church. I didn't know the town. I didn't know the culture of the town. I believe that vision is progressive. I believe we have an overall vision. But as I'm here and as I'm getting to know the community, I believe then that God will start peeling back layers of that onion, peeling back layers of that plan, peeling back layers of that vision, so that I'm better equipped to meet the needs of the people in this town. I said it earlier when we were back here this morning. Better equipped to meet the needs of the people in this town. The last 2 weeks, I've been out at 10 o'clock at night, get a phone call in my car, going to minister here, going to minister there, getting phone calls at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, going to minister here, going to minister there. You know what? I like that. That's me. Carrie, tell you, I like doing that type of stuff. Why? The average person, I may not have liked it, you know, 10 years ago. What are you waking me up for? Don't you know what time it is? I tell my kids, unless they're bleeding with bones protruding, don't call me after 10 o'clock. Matter of fact, Tyler's staying with us right now. We said, the door locks at 9 o'clock. So if you're there after 9 o'clock, I hope your air conditioner works in your car. No, we probably would have let him in. But I believe that vision is progressive. But it's not about my vision. What's Rick's vision for the church? It's about what is God's vision for this church. Because if I come in here with a vision, a plan, my own plan, it's flawed. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. It's flawed. But if it's God's plan, the plans that He had for me long before I was even formed, the plans that He has for me that are for good and not disaster, to bring about a future and a hope, if it's God's plan, those plans aren't flawed. I'm not trying to create or devise some big grand vision, some big grand plan for Life Point Church. I'm waiting on God. What does He want to do? Well, you know what? Sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's small things. We're going to go on a moonshine run. Moon burgers, moonshine burgers. Eat hamburgers. They also have, just so you know, they have pork chops and tenderloins and all kinds of other stuff there too. But I believe when you're talking vision, that's a part of it. Because when I said from the very first Sunday we were here, it's about building and formulating relationships. That's how you do it. You get together. You spend time with one another. You don't separate yourselves from one another. It isn't that we just meet on Sunday. Does everybody in the room have everybody's phone number? We should. Call them at midnight. No, don't do that. But man, if you're in need, we're here for one another. What's the Bible say in Hebrews 10? It talks about encouraging one another. Getting together, encouraging one another. That's what we're here for. Now, if you don't want your phone number given out, just say so. But if somebody, you guys want to exchange phone numbers. That would be great. I would love it. But I'm not trying to create or devise a plan on my own. I'm not trying to figure out, does God have a plan for my life or for this church? Because He said He already does. We just read two verses back in Jeremiah. Before you were formed, I knew you, and I set you apart. That means He had a plan. He has a plan for your life. Man, you weren't meant just to go through and go to work, come home, go to bed, go to work, come home, go to bed, go to work, come home, go to bed. You weren't meant to do that. If He's got a plan for you, there's some stuff that's supposed to be happening in between all those different lines, those segments of your life. So if you don't know what the plan is, what do? Three-letter word, ask. If you don't know, what do they say? There's no dumb question. If you don't know, you ask. But I'm not trying to figure out. I'm settling into the fact that He already has a plan drawn up for me. He already has a plan drawn up for this church. He knows the plans. And I just need to figure out what they are. I need to ask Him what those plans are. And they're good plans. Plans that bring this church to a bright future, a confident purpose, confident end and purpose. I don't have to help with the plan. I don't have to try to make the plan up. Some of us, you know, have been Christians for a few years. What we call mature Christians now. You're not old. You're just more mature. But we've been Christians for a long time. And still not really sure of the plan of God for our lives. If somebody says they had plans for you, don't you want to know what the plan is? We were out at camp meeting, and some of you know who Doug Jones is. He's been at Rhema for, I don't know, since dust. Anyway, but he's one of the most respected teachers and ministers there. And I went into the alumni room, and Carrie and I walking up there and talking to him. And he goes, oh, how you guys doing? You know, blah, blah, blah. You guys are getting so tiny. No, we're not. We're working on it. But anyway, but he says, you know, I've been hearing good things about you. I come back. I was wanting to find out who's been talking. Anybody here been talking? I heard that, but at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, we're just trying to follow God's plan. We're trying to follow God's plan for our lives. We're trying to follow God's plan for this church. But we're still not maybe sure of what the plan of God is for our lives. You know, we may have struggled with, I'm just not really doing anything for God. I just feel like I'm not really accomplishing anything for God. I just feel like there's really no plan or purpose for my life. Well, number one, quit feeling. Because feelings will lie to you. Satan's happy to use feelings against you. If God said that I knew you before you were formed and I set you apart, and if he says I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, then quit feeling and know that he has plans for you. He set you apart for a purpose. The problem that most of us have is we're trying to figure it out. Trying to figure it out on our own, in our own thinking, okay, well, I'm pretty good at this, and we're just trying to figure it out, and we don't need to try to figure it out. There's all kinds of things that, yeah, we're good at, but we're trying to figure it out. Well, if I go to this place, and if I go over here and I work with this ministry, if I go over here and I do all these different things, then that's probably the plan of God for my life. When in reality, it just may have been, you know, you ate the wrong piece of pizza before you went to bed or something, and you kind of stirred something up in you. I don't know. But we don't need to try to figure it out. We don't need to figure it out because we're going to mess it up. So what do we need to do? We're going to go about and we're going to ask God, what's your plan for me? You got any plans for me? I know you do because you said you did. But a lot of times, you know, when we're going here and we're going there, it's kind of, what was that? There was I think it was called Up. It was a computer-generated cartoon type thing. And there was a dog in this video there, in this movie. And every time there was a squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. You know, every time there was a squirrel, something shiny, something new. He was always running toward that. Man, we can't run toward the shiny new thing. We can't chase after the squirrels because that'll get us in trouble. We need to know what God's plan is for our lives. Even in this church here, I guard against doing something just because somebody else is doing it and they're successful with it. Because it may not be for this church. We watch this, oh, it's a church, it's got 10,000 people in it. Well, I know of a church that's being built in Asia right now that's going to seat over 100,000 people. A stadium they're building over there in an impoverished community. But the people, they're like, man, we want to be a part of this. But I guard against those things because it may not be for this church here. I was listening to a message once. Some of you may know who Craig Hagin is, but he went into his mom's office, Lynette, Miss Lynette, and he had seen where they were digging these wells in Africa, bringing about water, you know, to some of the villages there. And he was telling his mom that, you know, maybe we ought to be doing that as well. And his mom sat there and thought for a minute. She says, you know, Craig, our ministry wasn't called to do that. That wasn't the plan of God for our ministry. There are many ministries that are actually doing that. We know of one in particular, Project Amazon. They're traveling the world digging wells. But she said that we weren't called to do that. That isn't the plan of God for this church. And so they didn't do it. They have a. She also has a grandson. His name's Wesley. We just found this out here at camp meeting this year. He just graduated ORU with a degree in finance. He was applying for a job that had 20,000 applicants, but they were only taking 20 individuals out of these 29. Well, he was one of the ones that was chosen for this job in finance. They were negotiating contracts. They had everything put together, and he was on a fast track up the ladder. You know, who knows where he would have ended up in this company here. And he turned it down. Why? This fall, he's starting Rhema Bible College. Some people would say that's crazy. Six-figure plus income. All the benefits that go along with it. That's crazy. Why would you turn that down? It wasn't the plan of God for his life. Before you were born, I knew you and I set you apart. I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans for a future and a hope and a good hope. The plan for him is to be at Rhema Bible Training College. And then God will start to unfold that plan as he seeks him along the way. Are we seeking God to know the plan for our lives? Or are we comfortable? I could have been comfortable being retired. I could have been comfortable traveling. I wanted to buy a motorhome and live out of a motorhome all over the country. Now, the ministry that I thought that I was going to go into, my plan for ministry, I already had a name for it and everything, was designing a business card. Buy myself a big old motorhome with one of those, you know, how the whole side of the thing slides out. I don't know how many square feet that would be in there. Whole thing slides out. Pull a trailer on the back of it. Have my logo on the back of the trailer saying, First Place Ministries. Whew. I was going to travel the country, 15 different locations per year, and be a minister at disc golf competitions. Yeah, I kind of got the same look. Like, what in the world are you thinking? That's what I wanted to do. These guys, they play disc golf on Sunday. Now, there is a ministry that does that, and they hold services on Saturday nights called Eagle's Wings. They have services on Saturday nights, and a lot of the players will come to those services. But that's what I wanted to do. That was my plan. But it wasn't God's plan for me. God's plan was for me to come back to Illinois. Kidding. But that was his plan. He's constantly peeling back layers of the plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. His plans bring about a good future. Not our plans. Well, I just don't like my job. I'm quitting and I'm moving to North Carolina. That's where I like North Carolina. I'm moving to North Carolina. Well, go ahead. If that's not your there, the provision that you would have needed won't be there. You stay put until God leads you. He starts revealing his plan for you. But when we try to figure it out, when we try to make things happen, like I said, we can mess it up. We can get outside the plan of God. I don't want to be outside of his plan. I don't want to be outside of his will. I believe part of his plan for this church, like I said, it evolves in steps. Now, when I called a bunch of you up onto the stage here this morning, that wasn't planned by me earlier. That was in the moment. That was the Holy Spirit. When we prayed back here before we came out, before the ministers went out and did their job, we did something back there that wasn't planned. It was in the moment. It was led by the Holy Spirit. I believe that every step I take is part of the plan that God set me apart before I was formed in my mother's womb. Every step that I take is part of his plan for me. And we don't want to be apart from one another. I believe that it's part of God's plan that we gather together. When you've got a predator out in the jungle, where the desert, wherever you're at, on a safari, wherever you're at, a predator does not attack the herd. He doesn't attack the bar. He looks for that stray that's out off here by himself. Somebody who's weak, somebody who's lagging behind, and that's the one that he attacks. Part of God's plan for your life is to be a part of the herd, not to separate yourself from the herd. Y'all aren't a bunch of animals. I'm not calling you animals. But maybe some of you are. Maybe I would be. I'd be a lion. But anyway. But predators will attack the ones that are away from the herd. We need to stay with the herd. And as believers, this is a part of the big plan of God, is that we come together, that we're a church of believers, that we come together, that we encourage one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, this is a part of God's plan. His word is his plan, and through his word he speaks to us. In Hebrews 10:24, it says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." If we're thinking of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, that means part of the plan of God is that we hang out. Some people would say, in a more biblical way, we gather together. No, we hang out. We get together. We form relationships. It says, motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect. Church is not an option for the believer. Just so you know. I'm not saying you can't go on vacation, because Carrie and I are going on vacation. Next month? It's 2 months. It's September. I'm not saying you don't go on vacation. I'm not saying that just so you... Okay. August 31st, I won't be here. That's a Sunday morning. Looking for somebody to preach for me. Any volunteers? Okay. My granddaughter is getting baptized, 11 years old, and she wants me to baptize her at a church 2 hours north of here. So I'm going to go baptize my granddaughter. To me, that's a big deal. I believe that's part of the plan of God for my life. Carrie and I have been speaking the word into our grandkids and encouraging them since they were this big. I've told the example before. Charlie's on the desk. By the way, Charlie is a girl. Charlie, out on the deck, and she's sitting out there, and she grabs this chair to bring it over to where I am. I say, "Charlie, do you need me to help you carry that chair?" "No, Jesus gives me the strength to carry this chair." "Ooh, where did you hear that?" Well, her mom and dad too, but Carrie and I have been putting into their lives like that from the time they were little bitty. That's part of it. If you're a parent, and I don't care how old your kid is, that's part of the plan of God for your life, is to instill those types of things into their lives. You got nieces and nephews. I don't care how old they are. I've got nieces and nephews that we try to bring that to them whenever we see them. In-laws, even if you want to call them outlaws, but in-laws, that's what you do with them as well. Instill that into them. But it says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do." One version says, "as some are in the habit of doing." We don't want to get in the habit of not meeting together. Church is not an option, should never be an option for the believer. It's not condemning anybody, but the word should bring about conviction. "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some are in the habit, as some people do, but encourage one another." That's part of the plan of God for your life. His word is the plan for your life. And it says here that when we get together, we're to encourage one another. Does anybody have an encouraging word in their heart this morning? If you do, look to give it away. Give it away to somebody this morning. Give them that word of encouragement that the Lord has placed in your heart today. But encourage one another. Why? Especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Anybody believe that we're in the last days? Okay, one. We believe we're in the last days. Well, if we believe we're in the last days, then we're to gather together. We're to look to have acts of love towards one another, and we're to look to encourage one another. And we're not to forsake meeting together. His plans and his purposes are right now. If you've got the Word of God on the inside of you, and it tells you, especially in the epistles, how we're to live as believers, then we do it right now. It's not down the road. It's not in 2 weeks. It's not in a month from now that we act upon the Word of God. We act upon the Word of God right now. He says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I set you apart. I know the plans that I have for you. These plans are right now plans. Well, I just don't know much of the Word. Well, what did Jesus do for you? How did he save you? You don't have to know chapter and verse to know how Jesus saved you. what your story is. Now, we should be in the Word. Being in the Word is a good thing. That's part of the plan of God for our lives. She's not in here, but I talked about early on about how relationships here at the church, that was a big deal to me from when we first got here, that we build these relationships, and I feel like we have. Everybody like each other here? Okay, good. Everybody likes each other here. Anybody like little kids? Man, there's two little kids in this church. I get brushed with a broom every Sunday, mopped with a mop, and then they want to race me after the service. And you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I believe, I don't care how big you are, somebody like this, it's about relationships. It's about making them feel important. They're just as important as anybody else in this place. Anyway, but here just a few weeks ago, Darlene and a few other people, they prayed for an individual. Well, there, Darlene is more mature. She's young at heart. Praying for somebody that's 25 years old. There's no generational gap there. That's part of the plan of God for this church. No, okay. It may start small, you know, in your own life. The plans of God, they may just come in little bitty increments. It may start small, but we need to be intentional in even the small things. It could start with, you know, you're walking through the door, your smile. Somebody needed your smile today. Somebody needed that supply of a smile today. It may be kind words. You know, it may be bringing your fun. Any fun people here? I'm not sure I saw that. I've seen that in a while. But I'm glad it came from a 22-year-old, so evidently it's still in. But raise the roof. Okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But it may start with bringing your fun. Inviting a friend. Inviting a family member. I said it earlier. If everybody in the room brought one person, this place would fill up. Be looking to invite somebody to church. Church isn't all about you. It's not all about me. It's about bringing people into this place and winning as many people into the kingdom of God as we can, so that when we die, or Jesus comes back first, we take as many with us as we possibly can. That's what it's about. Now, we're going to grow in the process when we come in here and we encourage one another and we hear the word, things like that. But man, it's about taking as many people as we possibly can. Maybe you'll hand out a Bible. Maybe you'll hand out a book. Maybe you'll travel the world like Billy Graham, but it's going to start out small. You're not going to get born again today and be traveling the world like Billy Graham tomorrow. It's not going to work that way. But can you see it? Can you believe it? That God has a right now plan for your life? Man, something should be stirring on the inside of you right now, thinking, man, God, what do you got planned for me? And it may be that Carrie and I spend the rest of our lives right here in Mattoon, Illinois. Some people pronounce it Mattoon, just so you know. That right here in Mattoon, Illinois, that's the plan for our lives. And if that's where we spend the rest of our lives, right here in Mattoon, Illinois, then we're going to serve, and we're going to serve with all we got. Take as many people into the kingdom of God as we possibly can. In Daniel chapter 11, I don't think I gave them this verse, but we shared it earlier back here this morning. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, second part of the verse. It says, but the people who know their God, anybody know your God in this place here today? The people who know their God shall be strong. They'll be strong and carry out great exploits. Okay. They'll carry out great exploits. And when we read that, we think, oh, I've got to do something big. No. Carry out great exploits. Somebody might have needed your smile this morning. Somebody might have needed that word of encouragement this morning. Somebody might have needed a pat on the back this morning. Those are great exploits. If you know your God, you are led in those ways. Now, maybe you will be Billy Graham, but in Zechariah 4:10, in the New Living Translation, it says, do not despise the small beginnings. Maybe you look at a smile as a small beginning. But here it says, don't despise these small beginnings, For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Whew. The Lord rejoices in seeing you get a hold of, He's got a plan for my life. It may start out small, but He rejoices to see that work begin. He rejoices to see us open our mouth. He rejoices to see us throwing up our hands if we've never thrown up our hands before. He rejoices to see us come up on this stage if we've never come out of our seats before, and to come up on the stage and to worship Him, to be on live stream and people see you. He rejoices at the small beginnings. To see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. In John chapter 1, starting with verse 6. Talking about plans for people's lives. Everybody knows who John the Baptist is. We read about him and the different accounts about John the Baptist in the Bible. I keep going back to Jeremiah chapter 1. He says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I set you apart as a prophet. For I know the plans that I have for you. They're good plans. In John chapter 1 here, starting with verse 6 in the New Living Translation, it says, God sent a man, John the Baptist. God had a plan for John the Baptist. Before he was born, formed in his mother's womb, God had a plan for John the Baptist, and He sent him. John answered that call. John positioned himself to receive that call. It says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The plan of God for John's life was to tell about Jesus' coming. And you know what? That's still a plan for us here today, to tell about Jesus' coming. Man, don't keep it on the inside. We know too many people that need Jesus. We know that there's a lost and hurting and a dying world that needs hope, help, and healing. And we've got the cure on the inside of us. Let's share it. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, "Who are you?" He came right out and said, "I'm not the Messiah. That wasn't the plan for God for my life. I'm not the Messiah." "Well, then who are you?" they asked. "Are you Elijah?" "No, I'm not Elijah." Elijah had his own plan. "No," he replied. "Are you the prophet we are expecting?" No, that's not me." "Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?" John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I'm a voice. The plan of God for me was to be a voice. Y'all are voices. Y'all have a voice. The plan of God for you is to use your voice. "I'm a voice shouting in the wilderness." Now, one translation says crying in the wilderness. And when you see the word crying, I looked it up in my concordance. It means John was a voice hollering in the wilderness. You can use the word hollering in church, just so you know. "I'm a voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way for the Lord's coming." That was the plan of God for John's life. And he accepted that. Now, I mentioned Billy Graham earlier. Some might say, "Oh, I can never be a Billy Graham." Well, you weren't meant to be a Billy Graham. You were meant to be you. He was following God's plan for his life. But if you look at the life of Billy Graham, he was born in a farmhouse, lived on a dairy farm. He was one of three kids. It said, when I was reading this, it said he climbed trees acting and yelling like Tarzan, and that probably helped him in his preaching voice. He was turned down for membership in a youth group because he was considered too worldly. Youth groups had memberships back then. Considered too worldly. He went to college. He went into the army. Now, if you look at his life so far, that seems pretty ordinary, doesn't it? There's nothing extraordinary about that life that we just read things here. But it was all a part of the plan of God for his life. But then he went on. He worked with Youth for Christ. He traveled preaching. He developed the Billy Graham rule. And the Billy Graham rule was, it was a commitment to never be alone with a woman other than his wife. Remember that, guys. Never be alone in a room with another woman without your wife there. Period. I got a glass window on my office back there. I thought about putting a curtain up there. I feel like a fish in a fishbowl. Now, when you guys walk by, you might think, "Oh, there's the clownfish," or "there's..." There's the hammerhead. Maybe you don't think that, but I probably won't put a curtain in back there. But then he did crusades all over the world. I went to one of his crusades in Missouri. Man, it was massive. It was in a stadium there. They had a 5,000-member choir. Whew, it was pretty good. But hundreds of thousands of people accepting Jesus at these crusades, and it was all a part of God's plan for his life. From a kid being born in a farmhouse, milking cows, going into the army, to leading thousands to the Lord. And they said that Billy Graham at his crusades had the greatest retention rate than any other ministry has ever had. People remained in their faith. I knew you before I formed you, before you were in your mother's womb, and I appointed you and set you apart. You weren't meant to be John the Baptist, and you weren't meant to be Billy Graham. You were meant to fulfill the plan and the purpose he has for you to pursue. Now, Billy Graham and John, Billy Graham and John, they couldn't walk out your plan. They could not do what you can do. The plan that God has for you, they couldn't do it. That plan was designed specifically for you. This may turn into a two-parter. And God trusts you with that plan. If he has a plan for you and he sets you apart, that's telling you that he trusts you with that plan. Now, here's the key. And how many know that keys start things? Keys start things, right? The thing that we have to do is position ourselves to receive the plans that he has already set up for us. Get yourself in position to receive them. Now, some people, when they grow up, people ask people, what do you want to be when you grow up? And maybe some of y'all have said this too. Well, I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a movie star. You think I could have been a movie star? No answer. Okay, moving on. I want to be in the NBA. I want to be a Major League Baseball player. I want to be in the NFL. These are all things that kids would say when they were growing up. And if they were serious about these, about any of these fields, then they would begin to position themselves to be a part of that. They would begin to learn. They would begin to imitate. They would put themselves in a position to learn and pursue these selected areas that they wanted to go into. Some people who may want to be a fireman. Maybe they watched a lot of Squad 51. Anybody know what Squad 51 is? It's an old fireman show that was on TV. Or maybe they watched the movie RoboCop. Now, that's probably not the best cop to be. But maybe they watched the movie RoboCop, and that's how they wanted to be a police officer. Or be an astronaut, being like Neil Armstrong. Or their favorite actor. My favorite actor has always been Jack Lemmon. Anybody have the same, know who that is? Anyway. He was one of my favorite actors. But if you wanted to go into basketball, who's the first name you think of when you think of basketball, professional basketball? Don't say LeBron James. It's Michael Jordan. You think of Michael Jordan. And it says, everybody wants to be like Mike. And which is true. That was something that was going around. Baseball. Probably my favorite baseball player was Hank Aaron. Home run king. Probably about this big around. Probably about that tall. He wasn't a big guy. Home run king, Hank Aaron. And then football, everybody wanted to be like Walter Payton. Chicago Bear fans in the room? Silence, once again. But when you're born again, it's a slightly different question. It's not what you want to be when you grow up. It's about, God, what's your plan for my life? We'll go into various fields in our lives, but God, what is your plan for my life? The plan that you developed for me long before I was born. You realize that God had a plan and a purpose for everyone before they were born. Even somebody who didn't accept Jesus as their Savior and they died, yeah, he had a plan for them. And it was a good plan. He had probably even set them apart, but you know what? We have a choice to make whether we fulfill that plan, whether we walk in that plan. As a believer, you have a choice as to whether you walk out the thing that God's called you to. If he's called you to music, then you practice and you get to be the best musician you can possibly be. You do what he's... Tyler's been here for a few days. He's been on our keyboard at home. He's been on the keyboard right here. Whenever he gets a chance. How do you get better at anything? You keep doing it. But it's not about, as a born-again believer, it's not about what do I want to be when I grow up. It's about what is your plan for me as a believer. But I got to position myself. What's the God, what is the plan of God for me? What is the plan of God for you? If you don't know, it requires education. You have to enroll in school. Some people didn't like that when I just said that. You got to enroll in school. I thought I was done with school. What school do you enroll in? The School of the Rock. Okay, I got one that got it back there. Okay, way to go, Io. I'm glad you're on my team this morning. You enroll in school. Well, what are the subjects? How do you figure out what the plan of God is for your life? What are the subjects in the School of the Rock? And it's going to seem so simple, so basic, and you think, Rick, there's got to be more to it than that. No, there really isn't. Prayer. Spending time with God, ask God what the plan is. If you want to know what something is, you ask. People say to have your expector turn on. I say leave them on all the time. Expect God to reveal things. Pull different layers of the onion back at all times. The second subject that you'll have to go to in the School of the Rock is you got to have the Word. You got to have the Bible. And through the Word, mostly, pretty much exclusively, is where the word of is where the plan of God will be revealed. Because as you're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you at the same time. He's revealing things to you. He's revealing truth to you. And he's showing you, what do we say in John 16, 13? He reveals truth. He speaks things from heaven. And he shows you things to come. What are the things to come? The plans. The Word that comes from the Father. That's the plans. The truth, that's part of the plans. So the second subject that you have to be a part of is the Word. Well, what's the third one? Be in church. You pray, you get into the Word, and you spend time with other believers. And the plan of God will be revealed to you. Well, I always hear that. True. And it's true. That's how the will of God is prepared. The plan of God is revealed in your life. You know, God's developed a plan for my life. I had parents that were born probably in their, well, my dad was in his late 20s when he was born again. My mom, I can't remember, I've got it written down, but she was probably younger than that. I was born again when I was 4 years old. Well, you can't be born again when you're 4 years old. You don't even know what you're thinking. We don't even know what you're doing. I can tell you exactly what the house looked like. My mom was sitting in that chair with a lamp over top of her head. My dad and I were in the bedroom. The door was open. I was kneeling at the bed. My dad was sitting at the side of the bed. And I asked my mom, is that how it was? She said, yes, that's how it was. So nobody can tell me I wasn't born again at 4 years old. But then I was baptized at 15 years old. Went to church every Sunday. I was at church camp. I went to Black Hawk camp. That's where they had the polar bear swims. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're jumping into the swimming pool. It's a little frosty out at 7 o'clock in the morning. But we went polar bear swimming anyway. We had Camp Carillon. Church member that we knew, he owned a campground, had three different hills. And the whole church, every year, one weekend, we would go out to this campground. People bring their tents, their trailers. There was a cabin there. We would stay at Camp Carillon all weekend long. When we had church service, we had stumps sit out with planks over top of them, kind of like an amphitheater. You know how it kind of sits, slope like this, overlooking this big valley, this big pasture with cows down at the bottom of it. That was where we had church on Sunday morning. That was kind of nice. Maybe we'll sit on the roof up here with, anyway. But we went to Camp Carillon. I was a part of a youth group. I had a youth group that had probably 40 to 45 kids in it, which was probably a third of the church's attendance. It was a pretty good-sized youth group. We traveled all over the country doing various things. But we had a youth group. I was a part of a men's group. Lord raised me up to lead a men's group. I've been raising a family, serving in my home church. We served up there for 29 years, serving, helping. That was all a part of the plan of God being revealed. Now, this sounds like a pretty ordinary plan for any Christian. But it was the plan of God for my life. Each step, I believe, was ordered. It was part of the plan of God for my life. Now, did I get off track from time to time? Yeah. It took me 40 years to get to Bible college when I knew I was supposed to go when I was 17 years old. But I believe that serving helps reveal the plan. Serving may be the position and the plan that he has for you to serve in your local church. I got one more passage here, and then we'll shut this thing down here. But it's going to take me a minute to get through it. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 4. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. He has a plan for you to do certain things. It says here, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, if that's part of the plan of God for your life, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is in giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. If those are things that you excel in, that's probably what God has, part of the plan of God for your life. So do it well. Serve in that area. Serve it well. Now, my plan continued. Eventually, New Year's Eve, 2019, the plan of God for me was to go to Rhema Bible College. This sounds self-centered about what I'm about ready to say here, but it's not, because it's part of the plan of God. You've been waiting to meet Carrie and I for 43 years. You may not have known it, but it was God's plan. This was part of God's plan for Carrie and I to be here with you today. To be a part of your lives and for you to be a part of ours. It feels like, we've said this before, it feels like we've always been here. It feels like we've always known you. That's how we know that this is part of the plan of God for our lives. He's continuing to reveal more and more of his plan to us. And he's revealing it because we're pursuing it. Pursue his plan for your life. If you don't know what it is, ask him. Well, I've never heard God speak to me. I had somebody say that to me one time. I said, yes, you have. You're where you are right now. You're in this church right now because God spoke to you. Some of you have shown up here, and I don't know why you showed up here. You just showed up, and I'm glad you did. But I believe it was all a part of God's plan. So I believe that as we leave this place here today, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to realize that he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And he set you apart. He didn't set you apart just to show up at church on Sunday and go about your business the rest of the week. He set you apart for a plan and a purpose to fulfill in his kingdom. And he's meant for us to do it together, not separately. We don't want anybody out here away from the herd. We don't want anybody eaten up out here because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will, if he gets you alone. Stay with the pack. Run with the LifePoint pack. And we're going to accomplish great and mighty things. Father, I just thank you for this morning here. Father, I thank you that it's been a word of encouragement to me to know that you have a plan and you have a purpose for my life. You have a plan and you have a purpose for LifePoint Church. You have a plan and you have a purpose for each person in this place here. Father, I know there's responsibility on our part. And that responsibility on our part is to stir it up. Our responsibility is to ask what it is that you would have us to do. And if, Father, initially it's to come here, it's to serve, it's to be a part of the people here, it's to come here and to encourage one another, then, Father, we'll give it all we got. And, Father, I believe that as we do more and more, starting with the little, you'll begin to reveal more and more of greater things that you want to accomplish through us. Father, I thank you that you know the plans that you have for us. You know you have, you know the thoughts that you think toward us. And they're good. They're not disastrous. Father, you know things come against us in life. Things come against our mind. But I thank you that you've given us a way to combat that. And that's through your word. Being led by your Holy Spirit. And being around a bunch of like-minded people. So, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that we don't leave you here, but that your Holy Spirit goes with us, leading and guiding us into all truth. We will continue to put the truth of your word in our hearts. And we know that your Holy Spirit will speak to us things that only come from the throne room of God, and he'll show us things to come. He'll reveal the plan and the purpose that we're to pursue in our lives. Father, those that are still gone on vacation that will be coming back to us next week, I believe they're all coming back next week, Father, that they're enjoying themselves. They're having a good time doing what they're doing. But we know that you'll bring them back safely to us to complete this body, to be an encouragement to one another. We thank you and praise you for all that you're going to do in our lives this week. In Jesus' name.